Here's your money briefing for Friday, May 7th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. The cost of getting a college degree has never been higher. At the same time, the pandemic has upended many people's finances. So a lot of people are looking for new ways to pay for college beyond federal loans.
One of the issues that people have is they don't know that they should be looking, or they don't know where to look. And that means a lot of money is potentially left on the table.
Coming up, our contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk will go over some of the overlooked options, from alternative loans to scholarships and more. That's after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
We've discussed the rising cost of higher education on the show a lot, and we've talked about ways of making it more affordable, like federal loans. But there are plenty of other options that a lot of people don't think to look into. Cheryl Winokur-Monk wrote about this for the Journal, and she's with us to discuss. Cheryl, thanks for being here.
It's nice to be here.
So Cheryl, there was a recent survey showing that about 3/4 of high school graduates and high school-aged teens said they need to rethink how they're going to pay for higher education. And many even say they're going to have to delay going to college because of it. These numbers are eye-popping. Why are they so high?
It's really not a surprise that people have a hard time paying for college these days because college costs really continue to skyrocket. In 2019 and 2020, for example, families spent an average of $30,017 on college. And that's according to Sallie Mae. And the comparison is in 2018-2019, they spent $26,266. So you can see there's a jump just there. And you would expect with everything else going up that prices would again rise and continue to rise. And when you join that with the fact that many families are out of work or have suffered economic hardships because of the pandemic, it just really exacerbates the problem.
All right, so let's look at some of the ways that families and students can offset those costs. Federal student loans are widely available, but there are different kinds of loans. There are student loans, of course, but also parent loans. Can you walk us through the differences?
Well, it's really who owns the loan. So a student loan, like it sounds, is owned by the student. So the student's responsible for paying that back. The parent loan is in the parent's name, and the parent is responsible for paying it back. Now, there's nothing saying that if a student takes out a student loan, that the parent can't pay it back on the student's behalf. But it does mean that if the parent doesn't do that, the student is responsible. There are differences in interest rates, and there are differences in fees on these loans. And the parents and the students have to decide who wants to be responsible for the debt. That's really one of the considerations that should go into it.
Then another type of a loan is a private loan, and that doesn't come with all the protections that federal loans do. But what are the benefits of private loans?
Well, if you have good credit, especially, you may be able to get a lower interest rate than in a federal student loan. Now, interest rates are pretty low at the moment, so it's not necessarily as compelling in that respect, but you may be able to do a little better in terms of the interest rate, and it does make a difference, or it could make a difference in how you're paying it back. The thing you have to be careful of, if you're a public service worker, for example, and you could potentially qualify for forgiveness, that's not going to be an option with a private loan.
Okay, and then there are secured loans like home equity loans. How do they work?
So with a home equity line of credit, a borrower would withdraw money as they need it, and it's up to a certain amount. There's usually a floating interest rate, and borrowers generally have 10 to 20 years to pay back the money. So that a home equity loan is a one-time lump sum, and that will often come with a fixed interest rate. And, housing prices are really rising in so many areas of the country nowadays, so it could be an enticing way to borrow more money. Of course, you have to think about things like your home's value, how much you need, your closing costs, etc. And if you sell your house, those loans would have to be repaid.
Okay, now let's talk about scholarships. The ones offered by colleges and the government, they get all the attention, but there are also third-party scholarships that are often overlooked.
There are a lot of scholarships out there that you may not really think about. If you're involved in a group, if it's a social group, if it's a religious group, if it's a, anything that you're really involved in, you can always ask them. It doesn't hurt to say, hey, do you have any scholarships for college? And it may surprise you. There really is a lot of scholarship money available. And I think one of the issues that people have is they don't know that they should be looking, or they don't know where to look. And that means a lot of money is potentially left on the table.
So what do people need to know about these third-party scholarships, this year in particular?
A lot of times, some of the deadlines for the coming year, so for the 21-22 academic year, some of those deadlines have passed. But in my searches, I found that this year in particular, some scholarship deadlines were extended. It may be only through May, so don't wait. But some of them have even gone beyond that. And the other thing is that sometimes scholarships have a later deadline all the time. So it's not just if you've come to this point of the year and you don't have any scholarships, it doesn't mean that you can't get any. One good thing to do is to go to an online site, and there are really dozens of them that can help you match with scholarship opportunities. The one thing to know is that sometimes they will use your data, so you just have to be comfortable with that.
You know, it used to be that a lot of people would work their way through college, but with the cost going up so much, that's not nearly as viable these days. And one option would be a work study, you know, where students can earn money to pay for school through a part-time job on campus. What can you tell us about that?
Well, you may qualify for a federal work study with your aid package. You may have qualified for that, and that's part of your financial aid, and you'll have to apply for those positions and balance the time commitments. It's generally a maximum of 20 hours a week, but it can be less, and you have to balance that with your academic life. You don't have to do a work study, and you may not even be offered it, depending on your financial aid package. You can always get a job on your own. Could potentially affect your financial aid, but most times students don't earn enough from a summer job or even working during the year while they're in school to affect their aid eligibility. It's possible to do that, but it's really not as likely. So it's certainly something that, like, if you were going to get a job and it could help you pay for college, then you're really better off doing that than worrying about the effect it's going to have on your financial aid.
And before we go, Cheryl, we hear a lot about student loan forgiveness being debated in Washington. That could wipe away all or at least a big chunk of a lot of people's student debt. What's the latest on that?
So Congress and President Biden are still kind of haggling out what the ultimate deal is going to be, if anything. The numbers that are being floated about are still $10,000 forgiveness and $50,000 forgiveness, with different sides wanting different things. And it's really not clear at this point what the outcome or what the eventual outcome is going to be. And even if there is forgiveness, people who are taking loans today shouldn't count on having their loans forgiven. And even beyond that, the discussions right now have only covered federal loans. And so people who are taking private loans shouldn't expect to have those loans forgiven.
All right, that's WSJ contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk. Cheryl, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.